This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about legal services provided by legal aid offices. What we will be discussing is pretty much the model that actually exists across the state of California. There will be some minor differences, but this is pretty much what it is. My guests are Stacey Hulver, Executive Director, and Shirley Gibson, Directing Attorney of the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County, and Christina Varner, Legal Advice Line Advocate and Office Manager of Bay Area Legal Aid in the Oakland office. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association, which is composed of about 1,200 members. It's the only bar association in the country that provides private defender services for indigent criminal defendants. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Welcome back, Stacey.
Thank you, Chuck.
And welcome back also, Shirley. Both of you haven't been on the program in a while.
Yes,
so it's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
And this is Christina's first time, so welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think what we should do is let's talk about what really is legal aid. Let's start with that, and then let's talk about who qualifies for this.
This is Stacey. I'll just start out a little bit about what we do at Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. We serve low-income residents of San Mateo County who are particularly vulnerable because of some other factor, whether it's age, disability, language, or family violence. And we specialize in the areas of housing, health care, access to health care, and access to health coverage as well, family violence, or freedom from violence, and housing. Did I get income in there?
Income and benefits, yes.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that mean, incoming benefits?
Access to subsistence-level income and food and nutrition benefits for poor people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, and then how about Bay Area Legal? What are you doing over in your office? But you do have, there are, what, six Bay Area Legal offices for the seven counties in the overall Bay Area.
Right. So this is Christina. And we have six offices in six different counties in the Bay Area. We also see clients in a seventh county in Napa County. And we do assist in similar areas. So we provide civil legal services to people of very low income. And in areas of, like what Stacey was saying, housing and public benefits, health access, and also family law issues related to specifically to domestic violence.
So let me throw this out to you. You talk about low-income people. Today, attorneys are so expensive. We're talking about at least $200 an hour. That's probably cheap.
Right.
And it's perhaps more, $300 to $400 an hour. Even if someone is not a low-income person, that doesn't mean, obviously, that they can afford an attorney. How do you deal, if you do at all, with people who are in the middle class who can't afford an attorney but have some of the problems you're talking about? Can you assist them in any way or not?
There are a couple of exceptions to our income requirements. Seniors, people who are age 60 and older, we are able to serve regardless of income because we have funding through the Older Americans Act to serve that population.
That's from the federal government?
That's correct.
Okay.
Our service areas are tend to be focused on problems that are faced primarily by low-income people. So we can, there's not a strict income screen to be seen by us. But in terms of the legal problems that people, that we're going to be able to assist with, they do tend to fall more in the area of ones faced by low-income people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would say in general, people are surprised that it may not think of themselves as low income, but may fit very tidily within our low income requirements. It doesn't take a CEO, of a company, to be low income. But most of the clients that I have who are, basic wage earners actually do qualify as low income. So you don't have to be, living on a welfare income mm-hmm. to qualify. So it is generally, I think, a good idea for people to, you know, call and be screened because they may qualify for our services even if they don't think of themselves as indigent.
So the preference is that if someone feels he or she or they can't afford their own attorney and are thinking, gee, I'm wondering if my local legal aid office can help me. At least with your office, Stacy and Shirley, you prefer to have people call initially to be screened on the phone, do you not?
Yes, that's correct.
Let me do this because I think it's very important that people have this who are you are dealing with in your office, you are primarily dealing with what? Residents only of San Mateo County. You're not going to take somebody who's from San Francisco, I presume.
That's correct.
That's crucial.
We have a geographic restriction Mateo County.
Well, let me give you this in case you want to jot it down. If you're in San Mateo County, the number to call, the general number for the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County, to start off with, if you do have a problem and you want to find out if that office can help you, is 650-558-0915, 650-558-0915. Now, Christina, for your office, and you're the one that you actually work out of, as I understand, is the Oakland office for Bay Area Legal Aid, but there are five other offices in the Bay Area.
So the legal advice line is physically located in Alameda County. Mm-hmm. However, we take calls from all the counties. Mm-hmm. So we have sort of a bird's eye view of what's going on in all the counties. And we do provide intake and advice and counsel for all the offices, and not just our Alameda County.
And as I understand it, that number is 800-551-5554.
That is correct.
Yeah, 800-551-5554. Now, what is the difference, so that people understand this, between, for example, what the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County is offering to people in San Mateo County versus what Bay Area Legal Aid may be offering, which has an office in... You have one in Redwood City, don't you?
That's correct.
Just not very far from my building, the Hall of Justice.
That's correct.
So what's the difference here? Why would someone want to call the San Mateo County Legal Aid Office versus Bay Area Legal Aid or vice versa?
That's a great question.
This is Christina.
I was going to say that's a good
Come
question.
Come on, Christina.
Christina and Shirley, we both think it's such a good
question. You offer
them
money if they come to your office?
One of the challenges of...
This is Shirley talking.
We can never afford really to duplicate services. I mean, there's so many people out there who need assistance that we work collaboratively with a lot of other partner agencies to make sure that the basic needs of the populations that need to be served are covered. And so this is actually a great example of where we've worked collaboratively as two different standalone legal services agencies to cover the bases. So Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County has been in San Mateo County for going on 52 years now and is... developed over that time a very basic sort of bread and butter legal aid practice. But one of the areas that really needed attention when Bay Area Legal Aid established their office in San Mateo County, which was, when was that?
The year 2000.
In 2000, so yes. Yeah, about 12 years ago now, was services to victims of domestic violence. So that's really, and Christina can talk to that, I think, more specifically, where that need was identified and services were developed around that. So while both offices provide family law services centered around domestic violence, we really do have a distinct division of labor about, you know, which office does what type of thing.
So what can someone expect, Christina, at least with your various offices, if the person has been a victim of domestic violence, what can they expect that any one of your offices may be able to do, assuming that particular office in that area of the Bay Area deals with domestic violence?
So that's a great question, Chuck. Yeah. We offer, generally try to provide holistic legal services.
What does that mean?
That means that if a person, a survivor or victim of domestic violence, walks into our office or calls one of our offices and has a number of legal problems, for instance, maybe they're have a child custody matter to deal with, they might have a restraining order matter to deal with, and they at the same time they may be dealing with an eviction matter, or they are receiving aid, as some term welfare, and they are having a problem, maybe they're getting discontinued, something like that. So we try to help in all those areas with that one client so they don't have to go for many different places. In two of our counties, in San Mateo County and in Contra Costa County, we run restraining order clinics. So people who are unrepresented, which is, I would say, the majority of people who are seeking domestic violence restraining orders, can walk in to one of our clinic workshops and obtain free services to complete a temporary restraining order.
I see. But in terms of, let's say, if there's a requirement to go into court, I am assuming someone from Bay Area Legal Aid, an attorney, does not go into court.
Not necessarily. It depends. So this is one of the good examples where Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County and Bay Area Legal Aid work collaboratively in San Mateo County. We have a pro bono attorney program, pro bono meaning free, and where
these are independent attorneys who are willing to give their time, free to help people who don't have an attorney, and these attorneys want to assist Bay Area Legal Aid or want to assist the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County in helping this particular person.
Correct. And so through our program, the collaborative program, they may be able, the applicant may be able to get representation in court on their restraining order, family law restraining order issue. So that's one.
What if you have a situation where someone is the allegedly is the victim of domestic violence and may need an attorney going into court to help? Let's assume her. On the other hand, let's say the person who is the accused violator, the domestic violator, who may need an attorney. How do you deal with something like that, Shirley? Or do you? You know, where maybe from a fairness standpoint, perhaps, let's say the domestic violator, may, for good cause, need some help also. How do you deal with that?
Well, this is Stacy. A couple of responses to that. One is that we tend to, because we have limited resources, and sadly there are more victims of domestic violence out there needing family law and other services than we can serve, we do tend to focus on the ones where there is a significant disparity in income. So typically we are looking, if we're representing the woman, often the man in that case is represented. And that's why we decided to take on the representation. We do feel that the closer to a level, there can never really be a level playing field with when there's domestic violence involved. But the more disadvantages that the victim has in that case, the more likely we are to be able to take on that case and provide those resources. Well, unfortunately, we don't have the resources to set up any kind of conflicts panel or anything like that. All we're able to do with the opposing party is to refer them to the lawyer referral service in San Mateo County.
Because there may be something through the lawyer referral service, either someone pro bono who may be willing to help this person, or there may be someone, at least with lawyer referral, who will sit down with the person for a half an hour consultation and give some initial advice.
Yes.
Okay.
And we also have a family law facilitator that works for the court, and they're able to assist with forms. So when it's at the basic level of what do I need to file? I got this paper. What is it? What do I do with it? People can start with the family law facilitator.
And that, certainly I'm familiar with the one for San Mateo County because it's the office is in the same building where my office is, the district attorney's office. And it's on, I think, the second floor, is it not?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. I got that one right. Good. But the family law facilitator's office is something that is common to all counties, is it not, throughout the state of California?
Yes, that's right.
Are they all called family law facilitator, do you know?
Or, this is Christina, or they're called the self-help center.
Oh, are they?
Okay. They may be in a lot of counties combined self-help centers and family law facilitator offices.
Let's do this. Let me let everybody know. This is Your Legal Rights. We're talking about legal services provided by legal aid offices, who qualifies, what the services may be. My guests are Christina Varner, Legal Advice Line Advocate, Office Manager of Bay Area Legal Aid, who spends most of her time, I guess, in the Oakland office.
I do, at the Legal Advice Line.
My other guests are Shirley Gibson, Directing Attorney, and Stacey Hover, Executive Director of the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. For those of you who may have a question, what I will do as we get closer to the end of this half hour, which is the statewide version, I will give you the local phone number and you can call in and ask a question, whether you are listening to us live in the Bay Area or if you're listening to us on the internet. I'll give you that number. And of course, the program is live on the internet at www.klw.org. For those of you, by the way, who are wondering, when do they do the next Call a Lawyer night? We generally try to do it the last Wednesday of the month, and this month that's going to be the 27th, I think. Today is the 6th. Okay, so it's February 27th. On the air, it'd be landlord, tenant, and if you do have a question and you want to speak to one of our attorneys for Call a Lawyer while I'm doing the regular program, you can speak to one of the many attorneys who are in the conference room here. You might want to jot down the number. By the way, it's a no charge whatsoever. It's completely confidential. It's just a great service that these attorneys perform. And that number for Call a Lawyer, which will be February 27th, is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Let's talk a little bit about, there's been an awful lot of difficulty that people have had with foreclosures. Not only the actual persons whose property went underwater, but there may be tenants who have lived in properties where there's been a foreclosure. Shirley, how do you deal with that for San Mateo County Legal Aid?
Well, that has been an area where I think a lot of legal services organizations have had to develop some expertise over the last 5 or so years. Previously foreclosures weren't really something that registered, I think, on legal services radars because it was something that happened to people who, well, they had assets. But we've seen foreclosure have this ripple effect where just whole communities are being devastated by the effects of foreclosure. And over a third of the properties in the foreclosure process are occupied by tenants, which is strongly our demographic of lower income folks, certainly most especially in San Mateo County. And so in response to the impact that we were seeing with many tenants suffering evictions through no fault of their own after a foreclosure had happened on their rental property, we established a very focused practice on eviction defense for post-foreclosure properties. So we've seen quite an increase, and we've learned quite a bit along the way in dealing with banks and investors that are acquiring the properties and then dealing with the tenants that occupy them. It's been quite a roller coaster, I think, over the last 5 years. But it's still a large area of our housing practice right now.
Generally speaking, without obviously getting into specific detail, if a property is foreclosed upon and there's a tenant living in it, and then the tenant receives a complaint, eviction complaint. Mm-hmm. How do you actually help them? Because the property has been foreclosed upon. The bank now is the owner. The bank obviously may want to get these people off the property. How do you help these people? And if so, what can you really do for them, generally speaking?
Yeah, just to be clear, the bank always wants to get the people off the property. Banks are not in the business of being landlords, and they're very reluctant to assume that role. So they'll do pretty much anything they can to get rid of that responsibility and get a vacant property. So certainly in San Francisco, this is a whole different landscape where we have good cause rent control ordinance. So tenants have significantly better rights where there's a good cause ordinance. And there's some East Bay communities as well, I believe, that have passed good cause for eviction ordinances that do protect folks from just an automatic right to evict. But there has been some headway just on the state and federal law in giving tenants greater protections after a foreclosure. Federal law under the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act provides that tenants should have at least 90 days notice so that they're not, you know, blindsided with a sudden requirement to move. That tenants with long-term leases, those leases now survive the foreclosure, and so they are entitled to stay through their lease term.
Now, is that state or federal law or
both?
Well,
that was just federal law, and then just this January, the law was amended to actually expand the state notice protections to mirror the federal law. So it's become actually much less confusing than it used to. Now, under both state and federal law, tenants are entitled to 90 days and the remainder of their lease term. So that has been a great benefit to many tenants to have, even if the foreclosure sort of pulls the rug out from under them in terms of suddenly having a new owner and having to deal with the bank. It has helped give them some rights to work with.
If a tenant has a lease, an agreement, rental agreement, other than just month to month, a year's lease or 2 years or whatever it is, have you had the experience, just generally speaking again, of the bank wants to get this person off the property, et cetera? Does the bank under this type of a situation have, under California and or federal law, any requirement of paying the tenant money? Is there any kind of formula to pay the tenant money to leave the property, or is that something that may well be negotiated by you or one of the attorneys at the San Mateo County Legal Aid?
That would be a great law to get passed. Let's get that.
That is not the law.
That should go into there ought to be a law.
But even
with no legal requirement that tenants be paid to relocate, that is often the case. Banks, you know, are making a rational business decision when they're looking at, on one hand, sort of being stuck in the landlord role, and on the other hand, maybe for, you know, the price of a couple thousand dollars, being able to pay the tenant to relinquish those
rights. So that's a potential.
That's a potential, and it can be negotiated if that's what the tenant wants, and that's beneficial to the tenant. They always have a choice of entering into that negotiation. That's traditionally what we hear called a cash for keys agreement. That's not
what
based
on... What do you call it again?
Cash for keys. That's what we just refer it to as. Yeah. Real estate agents often come to tenants with cash for keys offers after a foreclosure.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Cash for keys.
So we do help people with those negotiations.
Someone could put that, if you're doing this kind of law, put that on your resume, couldn't you? Cash for keys. Done cash for keys kind of negotiation. Christina, let me ask you. You mentioned before we went on the air that your office deals with a lot of Section 8 housing vouchers, et cetera. For those of us who don't know that much about what Section 8 is, it's federal money, is it not?
Yeah, it's a federal subsidy program that's administered by local housing authorities.
And how does your office get involved with helping people in that type of a situation?
So one of Bay Area Legal Aid's priority areas is assisting tenants who live in public housing or subsidized housing or have a Section 8 voucher. A Section 8 voucher is a program where the tenant receives a voucher that is movable, meaning they can live in a private property with a private landlord, but the housing authority will pay a portion of their rent and the tenant will pay a portion of their rent to the landlord. There's a contract entered into by all parties. So we often get involved. It depends. In a typical situation, potentially a client may be getting evicted by their own landlord for various reasons. An eviction can have a negative consequence on their maintaining their voucher, so we might want to get involved at that stage, depending on the facts.
The voucher, I suppose, and correct me if I'm wrong,
sure.
This, the voucher means that the government is contributing on a monthly basis.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. But pardon me, go ahead.
Sure. And that's a good question. So, mm-hmm. Or sometimes if the housing authority who administers the voucher is wanting to terminate the voucher mm-hmm. for a variety of maybe a program violation or a violation mm-hmm. of a rule mm-hmm. or an alleged violation of a rule. Mm-hmm. So we would get involved in that type of stage. And we assist, you know, with public housing evictions and HUD-subsidized housing, other different federal types of program housing mm-hmm. evictions.
So when you are assisting someone, does that mean that Bay Area Legal Aid is able to have some attorney, whether a pro bono attorney or someone directly connected with Bay Area Legal Aid as an employee attorney, help this person if that person qualifies?
Well, it depends on the facts of the case,
of course. Right.
Yeah, we have income requirements. Even some people who do receive Section 8 might be above our income requirements. Mm-hmm. That does occur. And yes, it's usually our staff attorneys who in our local offices who do may be able to represent on a case.
Actually,
like
go
that.
Into court.
Sure, or negotiate with housing authority.
All right. Let me give the numbers again so that you have them, because I think this is important. And certainly if you're in another area, another county, or if you're anywhere in the state of California and you don't know what to do, you need some help. May I say this? Would it be possible for them to either call either office and maybe get some referral to another legal aid office some other place in the state? Is that
sure? And there's also a website at lawhelp.org.
Lawhelp.org.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
You can put in your county and
right.
it will come up with the different offices
okay,
that might be
available. Okay, lawhelp.org. So let me do this. For the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County, the basic number is 650-558-0915. For Bay Area Legal Aid, that number is 800-551-5554, 800-551-5554. We are coming to the end of the statewide version of the program. For those of you who listen to the program live, we continue for another half hour. And I just want to alert you all, wherever you hear this program, that our next Call a Lawyer Night will be Wednesday evening, February 27th at 7 p.m. You're welcome to join us, whether you listen to the program live or not. That number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. It is about 728 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. And if you have a question and you would like to ask it, whether it is going to be on the air, or if you want to talk to Martin off the air, if for some reason you feel you don't want to have your voice on the air, you're welcome to talk with Martin and give him, please, a succinct question or comment. We don't want any long questions or comments, if you don't mind. But if you don't have any problem with being on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And my guests are Stacy Halver, Executive Director, and Shirley Gibson, Directing Attorney of the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. My third guest is Christina Varner, Legal Advice Line Advocate and Office Manager of Bay Area Legal Aid, and she spends a lot of time on the phone. You know, when you mentioned, Shirley, that legal aid was started, what, some 50-some-odd years ago, the interesting thing is that the man who was the state bar president at the time, William Nagle Jr., was the one who started it. And you were there for the county bar association meeting last Friday night when we talked about that. So he's one of the guys who did it, and that's where it all started. Okay. Well, let's do this. I want to hear from whomever would like to be on the air, if you'd like to do that. We have, when you, Stacey, you talked about your office dealing with health reform and access to health care. Can you give us a couple of examples of what you're doing to try to help people who are having problems in this area?
Well, we focus mostly on publicly financed health care. And health coverage. So one of the areas that we've been working closely with the county on is their Medicaid expansion program. Mm-hmm. So with the health reform in 2014, all the states are going to have that, and all the counties are going to have that kind of expansion program. But San Mateo County is doing a pilot right now that's already started several years ago. So we're kind of ahead of the curve there, and we've been working closely with the health plan of San Mateo and with the health system there mm-hmm. to make sure that as they develop this expanded program, that they are making sure that the rights of the people who are members of the health plan are protected through mm-hmm. that. So we're trying to make sure that the eligibility requirements are clear and enforced appropriately and fairly and that sort of thing.
All right, let me pose a question to you that was brought into the studio. Is legal aid still restricted from taking on fee-generating cases or class action lawsuits?
That's a good question, because we're going to have different answers to that question.
Really?
This is Stacy.
Okay.
At Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County, we do not receive Federal Legal Services Corporation funding. Mm-hmm. We do receive some federal funding through other sources, including the Department of Justice, but we don't get the LSC funding, and that's the one that carries the restrictions on certain kinds of cases. So we are allowed to bring class actions if it's appropriate. We don't have the resources to do that frequently, but we do it when it's important enough and to mm-hmm. devote those resources to it. And we can also serve immigrants without without having to inquire as to their immigration status.
Really?
Yes.
Really? That's wonderful. How about Bay Area Legal Aid,
so,
Christina?
Yeah, this is Christina. So contrasting with what Stacy was saying, we do receive funding from the Federal Legal Services Corporation, so we do have a number of restrictions on whom we may serve. Mm-hmm. Class actions are not part of what we do. Mm-hmm. And we have some lifted restrictions as far as fee-generating cases. It really varies. So for the most part, no. Mm-hmm. Some cases, exceptions. Mm-hmm. Fees do go to Bay Area Legal Aid mm-hmm. as a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. They don't mm-hmm. go directly to one attorney of the program if fees are generated.
I see. Okay. All right. Let me mention, people are a little quiet tonight. Let me give you the number again, 1-415-841-4134. Let me also mention, if you are thinking that you're about to start a business, which is a scary thing to do at this time of the financial situation in this state, in this country. But if you're thinking of starting a business and you want to know what to know or what to do, next week, a week from tomorrow, that's February 14th, at the San Mateo County Law Library in Redwood City, just across the street from the Hall of Justice. There will be a presentation at noon by attorneys Ruben Nokos and Najib Kudaya. This is something that the San Mateo County Law Library does on a regular monthly basis, and it is free. You can bring your bag lunch if you wish and learn something about a particular topic. It's usually pretty much around close to the middle of the month that this is done. If you would like to, by the way, if you're in San Mateo County and you'd like to find out when, for example, a lawyer may be available in your local public library, there's a partnership between the libraries for San Mateo County and the Law Library, the San Mateo County Law Library. And you can find out in any one of the something like 9 cities in San Mateo County when there may be an attorney showing up where you can talk to that person, no charge at all, at the local public library. And let me give you a couple of websites that you can go to find out about this. This is a very valuable service that's available, and I think if you need some help, this is something you should do. The website for the law, for the libraries, not law libraries, but the San Mateo County libraries, is smcl.org. And for the law library, which also would have this information, that's smclawlibrary.org, smclawlibrary.org. And that will tell you who is going to show up, or at least when, in a particular area of San Mateo County. There will be lawyers coming to the local public library to speak with you, no charge whatsoever. So it's a great public service. Again, our number here at Your Legal Rights, 1-415-841-4134, if you would like to call in, ask a question, make a comment. Don't be bashful. I take it that your respective offices do not get involved with any kind of criminal stuff.
That's right, Chuck. This is Shirley. We get a lot of questions sort of about the parameters of what our legal aid office does. That's a common one. Criminal matters are people are entitled to a publicly funded defense lawyer. If you're charged with a crime, you do get either a private defender in San Mateo County or a public defender if you're indigent, mm-hmm. in other parts of the state. So generally, legal services like ours are focusing on civil matters, which I would summarize as saying this is where sort of basic human needs intersect with legal systems, mm-hmm. or legal barriers. And so while we don't get into the criminal arena, because there is already a publicly funded resource out there, we're generally trying to address the areas where there isn't going to be a court-appointed lawyer or advocate there, but somebody's at risk of losing some basic human need.
You know, next week, by the way, we're going to be talking about funding problems of the courts statewide. And the State Bar President will be here, with us on the phone, Patrick Kelly, and then Bob Foyles, who's the presiding judge of the San Mateo County Superior Court, and Mark Forkum, a former presiding judge of the San Mateo Superior Court, will be here, and we're going to talk about that. Do you anticipate your respective offices, for example, the latest information I have regarding San Mateo County, is that the county itself is going to lose possibly as many as 4 commissioners, leaving only 2 left, and this may be by September of this year, and is also facing possibly the loss of somewhere, I think, in the neighborhood of about 15 persons in the clerk's office. This is significant.
This is
very significant. Do you expect that this will be something that's going to be, and this is not just San Mateo County. San Mateo County has been lucky, whereas in 2011, San Francisco, I think, lost 10 courts. And I believe, if I'm not incorrect on this, something like 100 staff members. So it felt this earlier. Do you expect with this funding difficulty that we have that you can see a lot more burden for your office, for example?
Well, very definitely. And again, this is Shirley. I think, you know, we are already seeing a lot of sort of practical obstacles, mm-hmm. That are cropping up for our clients who are already grappling with a lot of practical obstacles that are imposed on them by their own poverty. So things like incredibly long lines at the court, much shorter hours at the court, just the logistical difficulty of getting an order signed and mm-hmm. getting it, you know, certified. These are things that, you know, we're certainly working closely with the court personnel to try to figure out how we can best navigate that without people losing rights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know certainly now in the San Mateo clerk's office, San Mateo County clerk's office, it closes at 2. So that's really can present quite a problem for people. Again, 1-415-841-4134. And if you have a legal problem, we've talked about lawyer referral, and I want to give you more information about that, because both the San Mateo County Bar Association has a lawyer referral service, as well as the San Francisco Bar Association. And just so that you know, every county in California has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. So what I'm essentially saying here is pretty much the situation throughout the state. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. And if you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Lawyer Referral Service also has a number, and you can call it during normal business hours. You should be able to get a human being, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Throughout the state of California, as I said, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. Call your own. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their very best to try to find someone who's qualified and experienced in the area that you're having the problem in, to have you have a half-hour consultation with the attorney. And depending on the county, that may be a low of $25 or a high of $35, generally speaking. The money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to fund the service to keep it going. So that's available to you if you need it. What have we not touched upon here that you want to make sure that we get to during the course of the program, because people are very quiet tonight. I don't know why they're so quiet.
The one thing that
there's no game going on, as far as I know. There's not
That's
an earthquake.
So
there's we haven't had the Martians invading. Or maybe we have. Maybe that's the problem. They're invading and we don't know it. Stacey, what were you going to say?
I was just going to mention that in addition to the areas of health, housing, income, and freedom from violence that I talked about, we also do have a practice in the education area. And what we're working with there is children with special health care needs, and particularly in their access to special education services and medical services and other health services. In whether it's in the school setting or outside the school setting. So that is one other practice area.
Do you know the name Peter Sturgis?
I don't.
Peter has been involved with that kind of thing. He's a member of the San Mateo County Bar and was one of the guests on the program, and we talked about that's one of his areas dealing with education issues in the schools. Well, we do have some people who like to talk to us. And Martin, as soon as you can get somebody on the window here, and we have, it looks like, Kelly. Kelly, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Are you there? Hello, Kelly? I think we've got some gremlins running tonight. I don't know what's going on here. Do we have Kelly or not? I guess we don't. Well, Kelly, I hope you are patient. Martin and Joanne will try to get you on the air if we can humanly do this.
There we go.
Oh, all right. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Well, I don't know what happened, but I'm glad you're there.
I could hear you, but I'm glad that now you can hear me.
Oh, yes, I can.
There we go. So, encountered a friend day before yesterday who was totally bummed because they'd just gotten an eviction notice. And I suddenly realized, wait, isn't there a process for this? So I'm hoping that your guest would be able to just outline, you know, I mean, doesn't somebody have to get warned? Don't they? Isn't there a whole process that has to be gone through? I mean, he was totally bummed. He was going to have to find someplace, you know, the whole, and I went,
well, why did he get, what was the basis of the eviction notice? Do you know, Kelly?
He said noise.
Pardon me?
He said noise.
No, he's been noisy. What kind of noise has he been doing, do you know?
That, I do not.
Because that, I mean, that's a legitimate basis for someone, if someone is being noisy and disturbing other neighbors or whatever, that is a proper basis for receiving an eviction notice. Usually,
but doesn't somebody need to be warned?
Usually, if there's a problem, though, it would seem to me that there would have been some notice to him, hey, you're really bothering the next-door neighbors, or the neighbor next door would say, gee whiz, you know, I wish you wouldn't be so noisy, etc. What comments do you have? Shirley, do you have about this?
I'm going to jump in on that one.
Please, do.
This is what I love to do every day.
Do.
But Kelly, I wanted to know, where does your friend live? What city?
Not a city. A small coastal town.
What county?
Marin.
Marin County.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
All
right. So the procedural requirements are basically the same all over the state, but there are some jurisdictions where there are actually some special, you know, notice requirements, and that's why I ask. Mm-hmm. So in those jurisdictions I mentioned where there are good cause requirements, there may well be a requirement that somebody get, you know, like a prior warning, mm-hmm. like, you know, a notice to cease mm-hmm. or something like that before they get an eviction notice. But at its core, usually the eviction process is usually what I would consider kind of three different pieces of paper. First, you're going to get the notice from the landlord saying, hey, I think you're, you know, breaching your lease, you're doing something wrong. And if it's a curable lease violation, which I would say, you know, making noise is curable. You can stop making noise, right?
So they went and talked to the owner, and then he apologized to the uh-huh. neighbor, and
yeah. So depending on kind of the scope of the problem and what's going on there, it might be that your friend should be given a warning, you know, warning them to stop doing what they're doing. But in really egregious circumstances, if it's amounting to, you know, what legally we would call a nuisance, it might just be an ultimatum to move within a certain time. But even at that point, then if your friend doesn't move after that warning, it would then evolve into an actual court case, what we call an unlawful detainer proceeding. So an eviction case would be a chance for him to respond and contest that case. If he thought the allegations were false, he would have that opportunity. And then only if he lost the case and there was an order issued by the court would the sheriff then bring him an actual notice of eviction stating mm-hmm. that he was going to be evicted on a certain date. So it sounds like he's at the very early part of that three-part process at this point.
Can he afford an attorney, Kelly, or is he low income?
He is pretty low income.
Low income. And, you know, there is what's the legal aid office?
This is Christina. Yeah. Sorry. Legal Aid of Marin County. Mm-hmm. I don't have their phone number offhand.
But they would handle. They would be
certainly
a good source.
Call them.
Is he someone who has the ability to contact the Legal Aid Society in Marin County, Kelly, and see if he can arrange to go in there and get some advice?
I should think. You know, it's the usual how people arrange that around work schedules, of course.
So he is working?
Yeah, but you know how it is when you're working in food service. It's mm-hmm. still pretty low income. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
So let me just make sure I'm understanding. So, you know, and maybe I'll just tell him to call Marin Legal Aid so we don't have a total game of telephone going. But what I'm hearing you say is that, I mean, he was acting like he had to, like, get his stuff out.
Immediately? He has to get it out immediately?
That's what he understood.
Well, maybe he really needs then to kind of take some deep breaths and, you know, contact somebody who knows something. I mean, obviously, he can either call Legal Aid and see if he can talk to someone there, or he can call the Lawyer Referral Service for Marin County and see if he can set up a half an hour consultation with an attorney who represents tenants, this kind of thing, and probably pay no more than $35. I mean, if this is important enough to him, he's got to make the time to do this.
And Kelly, the short answer to that question is the only way that he actually has to be out in a few days would be if that notice is coming from the sheriff of Marin County.
Okay, yeah. So the owner saying you have to move isn't it?
That's correct.
That's right.
It, as you said, the beginning
right.
of the process.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. he still has some negotiating room, basically.
But tell him, Kelly, really, he just can't do nothing.
Well, no. I mean, but what he was doing was like looking for the rug shampooer.
Well,
know?
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
And boxes to pack up.
Well, we're going to move on. Yeah, communicate this to your friend, will you?
Well, thank you for helping me get clear on what the actual process is.
Well, good.
It was very helpful. Thank
good.
You.
Very nice to talk to you, Kelly. Thank you very much for calling. Some questions or thoughts that were brought into the studio. quickly, and then we'll take another call on the air. Does legal aid provide services in the following areas? Government benefits. We've got the whole thing here. SSI, we talked a bit about Medicaid, Social Security, welfare for families with children, unemployment benefits.
Yes to everything except unemployment benefits.
Okay, no on unemployment benefits. That's, how about Bay Area
that
legal
is
aid?
Very similar, yes.
All right, so there you are. There's an answer. And Bob, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Are you there, Bob?
Yes, this is Bob.
Well, Bob, that's who I hoped would be there. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Last year, I was falsely accused of pulling a gun on someone. And they had a restraining order on me, which resulted in the taking away of my child. And when I went to court, they denied the restraining order. And then the person did it again. And they took my child away from me again for about 4 months. The first time was 3 months, so it was about 7 months altogether.
Mm-hmm.
What legal advice can you give me? Because I'm taking this person that did it to court, like a small claims court for defamation of character, libel, or things of that nature.
Have you filed
the right track,
Bob? Have you filed a case yet?
Yes, I filed the case.
What county?
Alameda County.
All right, and have you talked to the small claims advisor about this at all?
Yes.
You have. All right. You know,
they can tell me too much because. Like you were talking about the legal center in the courthouse,
mm-hmm.
They can't tell you too much. They can't really give you too much advice.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm thinking from all the judge shows I've been watching, Judge Mathis, Judge Judy, that when somebody accuses you of something, and they, when they come to court, they can't even explain what happened,
mm-hmm.
and the judge throws it out of court, that I could sue them.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have now a hearing date in your small claims action?
Yes.
You do. And when is that?
March 27th.
Okay. And,
March 16th.
March 16th. Now, Christina, yes. Christina wants to say something to you.
Okay.
This is Christina. So I was just going to say, this is a common call that we get because we don't, on the legal advice line, we don't assist with small claims matters. For, you know, any type of matter, you know, suing a landlord for your security deposit or suing for a defamation or something like that, where one person feels they've been wronged by another person. So there is actually in Alameda County, the East Bay Community Law Center has a program called their Neighborhood Justice Clinic, and they offer... I can't promise you, but they might be able to offer a consultation about your small claims matter.
Uh-huh.
And I can give you the phone number right now.
Please do.
Okay.
It is 510-548-4064. So you should go ahead and you know, give them a call and see if you can bring your paperwork in and meet with them. I believe they might have some income guidelines, but it's really worth a shot.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. All right. We have probably 5 minutes left, and I'd like to, if there are any other thoughts that you had that we haven't even touched upon that you would like to bring up for people, I think it would be good if you can. All right.
I just wanted to say one quick thing.
Sure.
To make it clear that we do assist, one of our priority areas is in domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
And primarily assisting with family law cases when there has been domestic violence. Now, mm-hmm. if a person is in that type of situation, I would recommend that you talk with your local domestic violence organization or police agency to get a referral to Bay Area Legal Aid so that you wouldn't call our main number.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
But we would really like to talk with you, and we encourage everybody to call if you think you have a legal issue that might fit within one of our categories, we just can't promise we would necessarily be able to assist
so
you.
So with respect to Bob, who apparently this sounds like it must be some kind of domestic violence situation. You know,
possibly,
when your child is taken away mm-hmm. from you, etc. It sounds like that. So assuming that may be the situation, you're saying one of the things that he might do is to contact what? Again, if you wouldn't mind repeating that.
Well, I can't say. I don't know his situation.
No, I understand.
Yeah, but I would say people who have been victims or survivors of domestic violence.
Survivors, okay.
Right? So this is, you know, intraspousal mm-hmm. with a partner, a parent of your child. You've been in mm-hmm. a dating relationship. That type mm-hmm. of relationship. You know, contact your local domestic violence agency and, you know, they might make a determination that it's the type of case they could refer you to Bay Area Legal Aid.
But if, for example, assuming that Bob is being accurate in communicating to us, he's saying that he was accused of pointing a gun at someone, and that's how vague he put it, someone. Let's assume that was totally bogus, not true. And it was a ruse that was used by someone else so that Bob would not have custody of his child. If that were the case, would he have any... I mean, he is not the usual victim of domestic violence. It's like kind of the reverse situation where someone has set him up. Would that be something that he might be able to take advantage of by following your suggestion of going to the police agency and being referred to Bay Area Legal Aid, or is that just out in Never Never Land?
I can't say. I think it would take a deep exploration of the facts
yeah.
and, you know, talking to people, talking to him in depth and, you know, looking at court paperwork and police reports,
etc. What would you suggest he then basically do at this point, if anything, since you don't have enough facts?
Call the Bar Association and arrange for a All consultation.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea, Bob.
And let me just mention this.
Go ahead, Stacy.
We do serve some male victims of domestic violence.
Do you?
It's not unheard of. It's a fairly small amount of our practice, but mm-hmm. it does happen, and we do represent those people.
Yeah.
So the focus is really on whether the person is the victim as opposed to the perpetrator.
Yeah.
Right.
He is, I think he said, though, he's in Alameda County. Did he not?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So, you know, Bob, there is... What is the legal aid office in Alameda County?
That's our office.
That is your office. So your office is the one that... Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, Bob, you know, one of the things that you can do, which I think is also very important, is call the Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. See if you can't make an appointment by talking to somebody at the Lawyer Referral Service, tell them basically what the situation is and see if they can't set you up with an attorney who has some experience and knowledge about the area of slander, et cetera, which is what you are basing your small claims action on. And I wish you a lot of luck. Well, we have come, I think, actually to the end of the program. And I want to thank you, the three of you, very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. My guests have been Stacy Hover, Executive Director, Shirley Gibson, Directing Attorney of the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. My other guest is Christina Varner, Legal Advice Line Advocate and Office Manager of Bay Area Legal Aid. Thank you very much for joining us on the program. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association, by the San Francisco Bar Association, by the Trusts and Estates section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, and by the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, we're going to be talking about funding problems of the California courts. My guests will be Patrick Kelly, President of the State Bar of California, Robert Foyles, Presiding Judge of the Superior Court of San Mateo County, and Mark Forkum, Bridges Program and Trial Judge, Superior Court, San Mateo County. I hope you can join us then. Thanks for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.